Welcome to Global River Church's Teaching of the Week. We hope you enjoyed today's message. For more information about this podcast and additional resources, please visit globalriver.org.
So it is a pleasure to be here. The last time that I preached, Pastor Tom was in ICU. The last time that I preached was back in January. It was January, right? And a lot's happened since January. In February, I became a caregiver for my brother who was dying of cancer. And I had the privilege of caring for him for his last 3 weeks. And he passed just over 3 months ago. And then I became the one in charge of the funeral and preaching at the funeral and doing the graveside. And then now I'm the executor of his estate. And you can imagine during this time there was a lot of grief. There was a lot of drama and trauma. And I suddenly became like the family matriarch because my parents are divorced. And I was the decision maker. And so that was tough because I don't like to make anybody angry. And honestly, I only had to write one apology letter. I've written one apology letter to someone that I was not super nice to. But it was hard. It's been a hard time. And some of you have given me those long, full frontal hugs because I just needed somebody to hold me. But I can say God has been faithful, and he's been healing me, and I'm still on the grief journey. On Friday, I was designing a headstone for my brother. And so God has been faithful, and he's been kind. And when I went through the dark night of the soul, and when I came out, people noticed. They would say, "Wow, you look radiant," or "You're glowing." You change. When you go through trauma and drama and crisis and God is your only hope and you're just hanging on just as tight as you can, when you come out of that, you're changed. And so I'm not sure what Lisa is going to be preaching today, if it's going to be sweet Lisa or kind Lisa or funny Lisa or militant Lisa or a combination of all three or four or five. But I will give you this warning, just if I kick my shoes off, then watch out. Because that is not sweet Lisa coming out then. That is militant enforcing the kingdom of God and his rule and his reign and his justice, Lisa. So I'm grateful to God for what he's done and just for how he has sustained me. And praise the Lord, I would say I'm doing between well and very well. He's just brought me through. So thank you for your kindness through that time. And your patience waiting for me. I will teach this morning out of the ESV, English Standard Version. And Pastor Tom, when he's up here on Sundays, he's always encouraging you to have a paper version of the Bible. Is it okay if I go here? And every time I think you need to have a paper version of the Bible, but be cautious in what translation you use. And I'm just going to say this as humbly as I can, but also as one called by God, I would encourage you to be careful with the Passion Translation, okay? So, you know, I've had a check about the Passion Translation for many years. I know it's some people love it. If you want to use it for devotional time, that's between you and God. But when you do your study, you want to use a reputable version of the Bible. Now, none of them are perfect, but many of them are reputable translations. The NIV, the New Living Translation, King James, New King James, ESV, NASB, the Holman Christian Standard Bible, all reputable translations. But there's been a lot of things that have come to light just this week about the Passion Translation, about the credentials of the one man who wrote it, many things that he said that were not true. There's also allegations of plagiarism, questions about the sources he used. There's just a lot of things that have been that have come out just this week, you know, and I've been watching and listening. So I'm happy to share those YouTube videos with you if you would like more information. Do your own research. Even AI will tell you there's a lot of disagreement over this. It's not a translation. It's one man's version of what he thinks the Word of God says. So be careful, okay? Be careful what version of the Bible you use for your study. and make sure it's one that has been created by many, many scholars coming to consensus on what the Word of God really says, okay? So, there, I feel better now. Happy to talk to you afterwards, send you some of those YouTube videos. I hope I don't have to write any apology letters, but I'm willing to. I'm willing to. Okay, I'm going to start with 2 Corinthians 1, verses 1 to 5. And what I'm sharing today is a message that I preached in Spanish back in November. And then I shared last week at a women's brunch in English, un poquito en español, at Pastor Michael Thornton's church. I had the honor and privilege of sharing with the women at their church, Catch the Fire Greenville, last Saturday. This is the message I shared with them. It's changed with some nuances that the Holy Spirit had for us for today. And I had the honor of preaching there last Sunday. That was really fun. 2 Corinthians 1, beginning with verse 1. The Apostle Paul writes, he says, "And I came to you, brothers, and when I came to you, brothers, did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom, for I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." He says all that, and then he gives the reason why. "So that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." And I'm coming to you today just like Paul. I have no lofty speech or wisdom. Actually, I had some oral surgery a few weeks ago, and I had my front tooth extracted. Some of y'all saw that picture I put on Facebook of me without the tooth. My new nickname is Cornbread. Just call me Cornbread. Cornbread. And honestly, it's hard. I'm having to relearn how to speak because my mouth is completely different in the roof of my mouth and my nose and everything feels different. I'm like Paul. I don't come with perfection in speaking today. I'm struggling learning how to speak. I don't know anything but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I want to magnify the power of God so that your faith might rest in Him and not in anything that I say. And as I was preparing to go to Spain last year, I kept struggling. What do I share? And God just kept saying, just tell them what I did in your life. Just tell them what I did in your life. And so I'm going to give you the 35-year testimony of what God's done in my life. Some of you have heard my coming to Jesus testimony. Some of you haven't, and you're new. So this is what the Lord did for me. So I'm going to start with a photo of me. I'm going to let, if y'all can zoom in with the camera, and then I'll come down on the floor. This is the big hair of the 1980s. Does anybody remember that big hair of the 1980s? It took a big dose of Aquanet hairspray and a pick, and you just teased it and teased it and teased it, and then you shellacked it out, and I had wings. Big hair of the 1980s. And when I posted this picture on Facebook a few years ago, all of my high school friends said, "That's the Lisa I remember." And I'm like, that's the Lisa I want to forget, honestly, and not just because of the big hair. Because this Lisa was one that did not have Jesus. I did not have Jesus. And like many people at the age of 16, 14, 15, 16, I was looking for love. There's an old song, looking for love in all the wrong places. And I wanted the girls to like me and accepted me, and they rejected me. And so then I would try all the different groups. I'm not an athlete, so the jocks didn't accept me. I tried to hang out with the nerds. You know, the nerds didn't really like me. I was no longer welcome on the popular bench. And I ended up with the people we called the hoodlums back then. You know, they were the people in the leather jackets. You just think a motorcycle person, you know. I sought acceptance among that group. So I did what they did. They smoked weed, I smoked weed. They drank, I drank. They did mushrooms, I did mushrooms. They went to clubs, I went to clubs. And then drunk Lisa would do a lot of things that I don't want to describe to you. But I sought love in the arms of men from the ages of 14 to 21, 7 years. This is the Lisa I want to forget. And thank the Lord, by the time I went to college, I just kept doing the same things. I was a liar. This is kind of funny because now I'm known as the sweet little church lady. If somebody wanted somebody cussed out, they asked me to do it. That is the truth. I could get angry. I could cuss people out. I was a liar. I was a shoplifter. All of those things. And by the time I got to college, just the weight of my sin, there was shame. There was a lot of shame because, all right, I'm going to just speak freely. If you have multiple sexual partners, you get STDs. Okay? There are consequences of sin. There are consequences of things that you do in darkness. There are consequences of your actions as you're running from God because you're under a curse. And I was under a curse. And I suffered the consequences. And I walked in the shame of that. Shameful things. You're under guilt and shame. And by the time I was, after my freshman year in college, I was just so worn down from just brokenness, rejection, hurtful words, anger. And I went to a Christian camp because what's so funny is I was the church youth president during this time. I was like the youth group president. I had this double life, this life of let me go to church, let me use my leadership abilities, let me stand up front and speak. But at the same time, I was doing deeds of darkness on the side. Instead of looking for God, looking for acceptance in the church, I was looking in other places, places I never should have been, looking at pornography. Horrible things. And I was at a Christian camp, and there was a song called Watch the Lamb, where they acted out dramatically Jesus' rejection and his crucifixion on the cross. And as I watched this with my eyes, I just felt the weight of my sin, the burden of the sin that I was carrying, the shame of all that I had done. And I remember looking up Psalm 51. And it's a psalm of repentance, of turning back. And verses 2 through 5 just really hit me. It says, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. I know my transgressions. My sin is ever before me. I knew who I was. I had a horrible, what you call, reputation in the school, in the community. Against you, Lord, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. And I wept and wept from this guilt and shame, but I still felt like Jesus could love everybody else, but not me. I had done too much. I had gone too far. I had broken promises so many times. Lord, if I'm not pregnant, I promise. If I'm not pregnant this time, I promise you I'll never do that again. Broken promises, because I knew what I was doing was wrong. Well, in my second year of college, when I was 21, I went to a Bible study. There was a young lady, she's come to visit here many times with me. Her name is Laurie. And she had this vision. There were two dorms, Lee and Sullivan at NC State. And she had this vision. She was going to evangelize both dorms and lead people to Christ. She was going to take both dorms for the kingdom. Praise the Lord she had that vision. Because she knocked on room 804B, my room, and I opened the door one day and she started doing this spiritual interest survey, we called it back then, just trying to see what I believed. If you died today, do you believe you would go to heaven? I don't think so. And that began a conversation. And that led me to a Bible study that was actually in the room directly across from my dorm room. And there were six or eight women sitting on the floor, and listening to them, I could hear for the first time that there is a God who truly loves people and truly loves sinners. And I can't give you the day or the hour, but I knew sitting on that cold dorm room floor for the first time that Jesus could love somebody like me. That Jesus could accept somebody like me, that the blood of Jesus was enough to pay for the sin and the sin and the sin of somebody like me too. And just sitting there in that moment, my life was changed. I received a love that I had searched for in so many places, and I finally received that love. I didn't have to work for it. I didn't have to earn it. I didn't have to do anything to get it. It was free. It was freely given to me. And in that moment, I received the grace of God. I received the love of God. I let the blood of Jesus cover my sin. He saved me. That was step one. I entered into a relationship with Him, and I learned that there's no sin too great for the blood of Jesus to cover. And some of you might can relate. You might have had an abortion when you were looking for love. You may have looked at or are currently looking at pornography. There may be areas where you're struggling with sexual immorality, lies. You may be divorced and feel that shame. You may have the shame that comes from your sin. Pastor Tom mentioned Hebrews 9. There's some verses I want to share from Hebrews 10. I'm going to, for the sake of time, I'm just going to cut to the chase. Verse 12 says, but when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins. Verse 14 says, for by a single offering he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. I remember learning when I was studying Hebrews about 10 years ago, and it really hit me. There's one sacrifice for all sin, for all time. I called it the 1-4-4 when I was teaching it. Past, present, future. On the cross, Jesus Christ paid for all your sin. All of it. Even that thing that nobody knows about. Some of you today, like I was, are still searching for love. Through things, through food, through people, through acceptance, through your job, through trying to outperform and outdo so that somebody will notice you and accept you. But only Jesus can do that. Some of you need to know that those sins are covered by the blood of the Lamb. Even that thing. Even that thing. Praise the Lord, the following year, God in His mercy healed me of an incurable sexually transmitted disease. And I am still healed. I am still healed 33-something years later. He cleansed me. You know, I still, you know, I got saved, but all that guilt and shame didn't leave me immediately. But through a process of reading the Bible and the verse that Pastor Tom shared today, it says, if we confess our sins, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and, I love this and, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so God was in a process of cleansing me. He had cleansed me, but I had to learn that I was cleansed. And He taught me that I was a pure virgin bride in His sight. Stand up, honey, please. And then He sent this guy who wanted to know the short little girl that smiles a lot, right? He was very forward. I mean, I was little Miss Bible study student. He was very forward. He pursued me, Brian. And we've been married for 31 years now. Praise the Lord. And I shared everything with Brian from my past, even had an AIDS test. But God has blessed us in our marriage. God has restored me. And I don't carry any of that guilt or shame of who I was. That girl, she's like long gone. She's long gone. And I walk free and healed and holy and pure. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old things are gone and all things are made new. And the beauty is Brian allows me to preach, travel the world, serve the Lord. We have two adult children and a granddaughter. But that was the beginning of my journey. Because I was in a process, I struggled a lot with rejection still. I still had that spirit of rejection that was so strong. And we were serving at a church, and I remember being at the nursery, serving in the nursery, and when church would let out, I would just, like, hug the wall because I was so afraid to talk to people. I just felt like I didn't fit in. Nobody wanted me. You know, everybody else had their friends, but I didn't. I felt so rejected. And there was a lady named Debbie Davis that was at that church. She got a hold of me. And she said, spirit of rejection, you go in the name of Jesus. Now, let me tell you what. Back then we sat on that side of the church. Brian, do you remember this story? So I was sitting about up back over here, you know, way back here. I'm sorry, camera guys. And I would, you know, just stand there and raise my hands just a little bit. But that Sunday, I was up front. And they were probably singing like, look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done. And I was dancing like a wild woman. They had never seen anything like that. And the pastor's wife grabbed my arm, and she didn't ask. She just dragged me up to the stage, and she put a microphone in my hands, and she said, tell them what God has done for you. Tell them. Because she could see the change in me. God delivered me from that spirit of rejection. He delivered me. He delivered me. He can do the same for you. That was my first experience with the deliverance from demons that we see in the New Testament. And praise the Lord, now I've been able to learn from Pastor Tom about prayer ministry. I've had some practice here at Global River, but now I'm traveling the world doing this same ministry and helping people get free. And when I shared this last weekend, it was so beautiful. A young lady came up to me afterwards and she said, I didn't know that other people felt that way, like they didn't fit in. I thought it was just me. And that is why I love to share my story, because, yeah, it's raw, it's rough, but there are other people that feel the same things and that have gone through the same things, and they need to know. The enemy will say, it's just you. Like, you're the misfit, you're the defective one, something's wrong with you. When really there are common things that we go through and that the Lord's going to heal us from and teach us about and help us get free from. So, you know, if you're struggling with you know, spiritually with rejection, fear, shame, guilt, bitterness, jealousy, addiction, I've learned that there's no demon greater than the power of God. And like Pastor Tom, now I have seen it with my own eyes. I have seen it. And I have confronted it, and I've learned that the name of Jesus, there is no name greater. There is no name greater, no thing greater than the name of Jesus. So around 2014, Brian and I have been here about 20 years, since about 2006. And for many years, I just, you know, served and did little things. But around 2014, I began... Well, maybe it's 2012. I started leading the ladies' ministry, and some of y'all were here back then. But God started raising me up, and my children were getting ready to go into high school. I had homeschooled them, and I knew the future was going to be like I was going to be an unemployed, stay-at-home homeschooling mother. Like suddenly, you know, homeschooling mother, out of work. Stay-at-home mom, no longer needed because they were going to be gone. And so God told me to do four things. One, learn Spanish. That's why I take it so seriously. Two, go to a conference for women learning how to speak called She Speaks. So learn how to communicate more effectively, be a public speaker. Three, I asked Arlene Casola to mentor me. And sometimes that was rough because she would come with words from the Lord that would make me squirm and sweat in my seat. And I wouldn't be where I am without all of the years that she sewed into me. And then I also worked to become a certified precept Bible study teacher. So in 2016, I began teaching Bible studies, and Pastor Tom let me teach here. And in 2018, he finally, after I asked three times, let me preach for the first time. So I've been preaching, it's hard to believe, about 8 years. Then in 2020, I went on my first mission trip. In 2022, I was ordained under Global Awakening. In 2024, I received my master's degree in divinity from Regent University. This is a season of training. So God saved me, healed me, delivered me, trained me. I mean, some of these things were 20 years after I got saved, started more training. And y'all, I'm just a nobody. I'm just a nobody. I struggle with insecurity. I love to talk about guns, and people ask me, why are you shooting that big round? Like, I struggle with wanting to prove myself. If one more person says that gun is bigger than you are, I think I'm going to slap them. They do. If one more person says that gun's too big for you, I'll say, I'll show you. And then I'll shoot it, and then I'll buy all the ammo that's stronger and stronger and stronger till I reach the strongest ammo for that particular gun, and then I'll go to the next caliber. Because I'm trying to prove myself. I want respect. So God's training me. But y'all, I'm a nobody. I'm just human with struggles with insecurity and inferiority. And I try to overcompensate and I try to prove my worth. But God still chooses to use me. Why? I said yes. Now, God knows what he's working with. He knows exactly what he's working with. But I said yes. And day by day, God has been teaching me identity. Identity. Who I am in Christ. That my God is that big battleship, carrier, whatever it is. The big ship God, not the little ship God. Identity. And I'm crazy enough to believe it. And I've seen it with my eyes. And I'm just crazy enough to believe that if the Bible says he's given me authority, well, let's just try that out. I apologize. I'm screaming in the microphone. Yeah, so I'm the sweet little church lady, but I'm also, hard to even say it, a leader in God's army. Little old me. Little old me. Psalm 144 says, blessed be the Lord, my God, my rock. Blessed be the Lord, my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle. God is also training you. You know, I have unique gifts that God has given me, and he wants to show his love through me in a unique way. And in the same way, there are gifts that he has given each one of you. And that he wants to use in the way that only you use it. If it's behind the scenes, let it be behind the scenes. If it's just worshiping his holiness, let it be that way. If it's out front, let it be that way. If it's serving in your job, let it be that way. If it's being a caregiver, let it be that way. But you all, everyone, you have unique gifts that God has given you. And he's waiting for you to show up with them. He wants you to show up with them. The church needs what you have. There are things you can do I can't do. There are things you can do that Pastor Tom and that we can't do, the church staff can't do, because God has gifted you to do it. And I just want to say the church needs the gift of God. The Global River needs the gift of God that you carry. The church as a whole, the kingdom of God, needs what you alone carry. God's just waiting for you to step up. Romans 8, verses 18 through 19 says, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. There's no gift that's insignificant. There's no gift that's not needed. If God has given you a gift, and you may not know what it is yet, and that's okay. That's okay. Pray for wisdom. He'll show you. It's where your passion and your talents collide, generally, is where you're gifted. So the last thing the Lord did was he sent me. So he saved me, healed me, cleansed me, delivered me. I was thinking in Espanol, me rescató. He rescued me, and then he trained me and sent me. Some of you may know that I used to be afraid of flying. And I had a pretty valid reason, because in 1994, Brian and I were engaged. I had flown to Knoxville, Tennessee to see him. I was living in Washington, D.C. for a summer. And while I was in Knoxville, like a big Boeing 747 passenger jet plane crashed on a city street in Charlotte. And that's my hometown. So it's kind of like if a big 747 crashes right out here, you know, something you can relate with, not just something you see on the news, it affects you. Because you look at that and you say, that's not safe. That is not safe. Not safe. So for over 20 years, I did not fly. From 2001, and this was before 9/11, just about a week before. No, that's not right. No, the last time I flew was before 9/11. So for about 20 years, I did not fly. And I would look at the planes and I would say, I'm not afraid of you. Maybe I am. But finally in 2020, I felt led to go on a mission trip to Costa Rica with Pastor Tom and Miss Addie. You remember, and Jason, you were with us. I had my teddy bear. And Miss Addie, she would just like hold my head and pat me during takeoffs and landings. It was hard. But we got me to Costa Rica. And I still remember on the flights coming back from like Atlanta to Wilmington, every time the plane would jostle, I would open my eyes because I thought we were crashing. So I did it afraid that first time. I was scared, but I did it. Well, then my adult son with autism, decides he's going to move to Wisconsin. Okay, this is a son that needs a little bit of mama's help. So to get to Wisconsin, there's four flights. There's a flight through Charlotte or Atlanta or maybe Chicago or, you know, there's a flight through a hub and then to Wisconsin. From here to the hub to Wisconsin. So, you know, if you consider I probably would go see him four or five times a year, well, that's 20 flights in a year. I very quickly got over that fear of flying. Praise the Lord. In 2023, I led my first mission trip, which is crazy. And I struggled a lot with leadership because I don't want to offend anybody. I don't enjoy conflict. I can do it. And I'm learning to be okay with the results if people get angry or upset. You know, I can humble myself and apologize for what I've done wrong. But in this journey of leadership, I did a study. I wrote a research paper on the Holy Spirit throughout the Bible. What was the Holy Spirit like in the Old Testament? And then what was Holy Spirit like in the New Testament? And then what's Holy Spirit doing now? Holy Spirit is living in us. Like in the Old Testament, he would come and go. With David only did he remain. And then with Jesus, the Holy Spirit came and remained. But Holy Spirit lives within us 24/7, 365. That Holy Spirit is within us. And what I learned was that the Holy Spirit that enabled Moses to lead in the desert, and the Holy Spirit that enabled David to be king and to make decisions, lives in me. And if Moses could be a leader in the desert with Holy Spirit, and David could be a leader over the kingdom with Holy Spirit, then I could be a leader too. It's the same Spirit. And that changed everything. So I led my first mission trip in 2023 back to Costa Rica. There was a reason God told me to learn Spanish. There was a reason, clearly. But one thing I had to get through, I had to work with, was comparison. Because when I went back to Costa Rica, I thought, they don't want me. They want some anointed person like Miss Addie. That was my honest thought. They don't want me. I'm just a fill-in. That's all they could get. That was the backup plan. That was honestly what I thought, was they wanted someone anointed and powerful like Pastor Tom and Miss Addie. But They needed me and the story that I could share with their women with gut raw honesty. There are things that I carry that other people don't have. There are things that you carry, things that you can do, gifts that you have, stories, your testimony, people you can reach that we can't. This is funny. I would think they want Miss Addie, not me. Just yesterday, I got an email from Elliot Tepper. So I did 2023 Costa Rica. We went back to Costa Rica in a year ago, 2025. I took a team to Madrid last fall, 2025. I got an email yesterday from Elliot, and it says, "Dear Lisa, I would like to invite you and a team to come back to minister to our women and to minister in our church." He wants me. And I'm like, he wants me. And in the same way, you're looking at other people and saying, they've got the gift to do it. They've got the anointing to do it. They can do it better. Well, maybe they can, but God wants you. God wants you. Because there's something you can do that others can't. So we need what you have. Even if you struggle with comparison like I have, and insecurity, and thinking like this, imposter syndrome, I usually get in way over my head. And this is where faith and just being brave enough and stupid enough to believe steps in. In 2025, last fall, the board voted me as a missions pastor, which is crazy because, you know, 5 years ago I'd been afraid to fly. And then suddenly I'm traveling and speaking in other nations and doing prayer ministry with Jan Rickey a whole lot in English and in Spanish. So that same spirit that enabled David and Moses and then enables Miss Addie and Pastor Tom and me lives in you. That same spirit, that same anointing, that same power lives in you. We have to make room for it. We have to ask for more of it. Friday night at worship, Leisha was talking about humility, and she would say, low, lower, and lower still. And I'm asking for Holy Spirit to go deep, deep, and deeper still, to fill us up. There are gifts within you that are uniquely yours, and the world needs what you have. And God sends you. In John 20, 21, Jesus said to them, "As the Father has sent me, so I send you." Now, here's what's kind of interesting. As you may look at me, and my pumps today, okay, let's make sure y'all can see them. These pumps, these navy pumps, are courtesy of Pat Bradford. Because she's like my fashion consultant when it comes to things to wear on camera. You know, actually, these aren't the best earrings, but you wear big flat earrings because they look flashy on camera. She's been saying for a while, you need to wear some pumps. So I had to buy some old lady pumps that are really comfortable. And I've been breaking them in, and so I'm trying them out today for Pat Bradford. Now I don't know where I was going to go. Oh, but, you know, I match. I look put together. My nails are hot pink, and so are my toenails. I have this appearance of, hey, I've got it all together. But let me tell you what, the instrument, the tool, the person, the woman, the human that God is working with and working through does not have it all together. I don't. I have areas where I struggle and where I'm still struggling, and I'm not perfect yet. They have not been healed or made whole in certain areas yet. Just yesterday, I struggled with anxiety disorder, and sometimes my brain can just get overwhelmed when there's too many options of what to do and too many thoughts going on. And where was I sitting when you had to walk me to the bathroom? We were in the kitchen. And we had had a Sam's order come, and, you know, I had been paying bills, and my brain was so full of so many thoughts, and he's asking me this and saying that, and my body will just say no more. And I'm like, honey, I need you to just walk me to the bathroom so I can take some medicine and, like, just chill for a minute. That's what God's working with. When Jan and Loretta and I arrived in Spain last November, we were doing all kinds of things, and there was a lot going on, and Jan had to, like, I had a shutdown. Like, I feel a little overwhelmed. My brain, it just was too much. Jan had to unpack my suitcase. I can preach. Puedo predicar en español en frente de 700 personas. I can preach in Spanish in front of 700 people, but I struggle to unpack my suitcase. This is what God's working with. And God can still use you if you're not perfect yet. If you still have areas where you struggle. If you still have things you've been pushing through and you've not pushed through and they're still there. God can use instruments that are in that process of sanctification because we're all in that process of being made like Jesus. There will be a day when my brain will function the way God intended it to function. But I'm not there yet, but I don't say that I'm not disqualified. I'm not going to let shame tell me I can't do it because shame, for whatever your struggle is, will just keep you tied to your seat because you think I'm not good enough to do that. And I went through all that. God and I work a lot of stuff out up here on the altar. We worked through that one. But we're all imperfect vessels. I'm an imperfect vessel that said yes. Why is God, why am I doing this and that? Because I said yes. That, like, I was just crazy enough to say yes. Crazy enough to dream it. Crazy enough to try to do it. God could have sent others. Perhaps they said no. Maybe I really was plan B. I'm okay with that. There was one time in junior high school, there was a math team, and we all took a test to see who would go to this big math competition. And I was an alternate. Like, there were the five smartest people, and I was an alternate. And then somebody couldn't go, and I ended up going to the math competition and won the whole thing. Like, I was first place in the math competition and then went on to a regional one. Plan B won. So you might feel like you're God's plan B. God just wants your yes. Just say yes. He can work with what you have. He can work with you, with what you're struggling with. Areas of doubt that you have. Areas of confusion. Areas where you're not sure what God is doing. Areas where you're not sure what the Bible means. Areas where you struggle. God can use you right there. There are a lot of things about the Bible I don't understand. He can use you. Some of you aren't sure what God is asking you to do, and there's a scripture in Ephesians 1, 17 through 18. And Paul is praying that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your heart enlightened, having your understanding enlightened. So if you're not sure what it is God wants you to do, you pray for that spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of who the Lord is. So I'm going to come down to the floor and kick my shoes off. This is where the fun begins. And it's so funny because doing altar calls is really hard for me. And a lot of times I'll just chicken out and pass the microphone to Pastor Tom. And even this morning I told him I might need some help. Like, Lisa might chicken out and pass it off to Pastor Tom. But there are a couple things the Lord spoke to me this morning. There's power in your yes. You may feel like a helpless, powerless person. You may feel unqualified, unable, not ordained, not educated. You don't have enough money. You don't look the right way. But there's power in your yes. Just a yes. Just a crazy yes. I have no idea how you're going to do that. I don't know what I'm getting into, but yes. Yes, God. Yes, Lord. I'm available. I'll go for you. I'll say it for you. I'll serve for you. Just yes. And then the other thing that I heard is there's power in your yes, but there is a supernatural empowerment with your yes. with your yes, there comes a supernatural empowerment that enables you to do what in your flesh you're unable to do. What in your, with your personality, your makeup, you can't do it. Like that militant, crazy Lisa, like, I'm not her. But when I say yes, Lord, when I say yes, when I say, come, Holy Spirit, come. Yes, Lord, give me that spirit of being militant. Let me enforce your kingdom. There's a change that comes. There's a power that comes with it. So I would like everyone to stand. I'm going to do something I've never done before, I don't think. So a couple things that I want to do for the altar call is first, so Pastor Tom does a really great job teaching about the baptism in the Holy Spirit. I don't even think I've ever taught that. Like, I've read it. I know it. Acts 1 and 2, you know, you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You will be my witnesses, and Holy Spirit falls, and there's tongues of fire, and then the disciples preach with boldness, and then they're refilled with the Holy Spirit, Acts 1, 2, 3, and 4. But the reason that I'm able to do some of these things that in my flesh I can't do is because I have asked for all of Holy Spirit that's available to me. There are a lot of debates about, do you receive all of Holy Spirit when you're saved? Is there a baptism of the Holy Spirit? I just want to put it this way. If there's more Holy Spirit that's available or might be available to me, I want it. So if you are not sure if you've received the baptism of the Holy Spirit or all of the Holy Spirit that there is for you, I want to pray for you to receive this power that enables you to go and to do and to serve and to overcome. And I'm going to be even bolder and say, will you come up front? And can y'all put some music on in the background? If you want to receive that baptism in the Holy Spirit, come up front. If you want to receive that power, the power to say yes to the Lord and to go and do, just come right down here.
Yeah, thank you, Lord. There's always more. It's kind of like, how much? We need some catchers. Come on. We need some more catchers up here. You know, there's a question as to how much of Holy Spirit do you want, and what's the limit? Paul writes, he says, the limitless favor of God, or the limitless depths of Jesus. And so, Lord, there's always more. In fact, the hungrier you get, the more you're going to get hungry. So, Lord, I just pray right now in the name of Jesus, Lord, you see the hunger. That yes, maybe you're sitting here. Lisa and I exchanged some texts this morning. What if you don't know what your yes is? What has God asked you to do? Well, I like that scripture in Ephesians chapter 1. It says, the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened. So if you're not sure what your yes might be, why don't you come? We're going to need some more catchers. So, Lord, I pray right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray that the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Christ, Lord, that we would know what the yes is. Lisa's been really transparent. There aren't a lot of pastors that will tell you their stuff, but we've all got a testimony. We're all a work in progress. The question is, will you allow God to have access to all of who we are, receive that truth, and when he says, will you do this for me? That little yes becomes a big yes. Mama Addie says, he qualifies you. He doesn't call the qualified, he qualifies you. And Lisa, Pastor Lisa's done a wonderful job expressing how all the journeys, the more you say yes, the more you get. And then the more glory you get to see, and then it becomes contagious. It almost becomes, Lord, I trust you. So, Lord, right now, in the name of Jesus, Holy Spirit, we ask that you'd come. Come with your presence, Lord. Lord, release more of that presence in the name of Jesus, Lord. You see the hungry heart. Those who hunger and thirst will be fed. They will be filled. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall open. Right? Revelation 3:20 says, I stand at the door and I knock. And if you'll hear the voice and open the door, I will come in and I'll supper with you. That's fulfillment. That's being fed from the presence. But he won't break your door down. You got to open it. So, Lord, I thank you for the humble hearts that seek after you, those who search for truth, Lord. So, Lord, we come. Let's all just bow our heads. I want to pray a pastoral covering. Lord, I thank you that each one of these that are here today, those listening by live stream, there are assignments, there are divine appointments. In fact, it says that your day has been recorded every day. Psalm 139 says, your book has been recorded. The life that God has given you, the assignments God has given you. So, Lord, I pray right now, Lord, that we would be a willing vessel to be bold for the presence, Lord. We would overcome our fears and overcome our shame and overcome our guilt and brokenness, rejections, those things that don't seem to, we don't say, why would God use me? There are only people you can reach. So, Lord, I thank you for a divine boldness right now in the name of Jesus, supernatural presence of God. And there are many that have been baptized. But, Lord, I pray right now, Father, for more. The more of God that would fall on this house. The more of God that would result in the fruit of salvations and healings and deliverance. So, God, we just thank you. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Come, Lord. Come, Lord. Thank you, 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 Lord. I thank you, Lord, for the word that you've heard, that rejection. If you're here this morning, if you've been dealt a hand that you feel you've been struggling with rejection, just raise your hand if you had struggles with rejection in your life. I see that hand. Come on. The reality is all of us judge ourselves. So let's just receive right now in the name of Jesus that rejection that comes from betrayal or disappointment or lies. Or Lord, I ask you to break all that rejection. God fully accepts us. Lord, he receives all of us. So, Lord, I thank you that you're taking us through those places of betrayal and brokenness and rejection and insecurity. Because what does he want? He wants a spotless bride, not a perfect bride, but it's by the righteous blessings of Christ. So, Lord, I pray right now that that insecure rejection, all the lies, all the things that have happened in our past, the betrayals, the broken hearts, the words spoken, the curses, Lord, we just come. We've had communion this morning, Lord. We thank you that you wash us and cleanse us now. And we thank you, Lord. And anytime you get that small voice or that large voice of rejection, just rebuke that in Jesus' name. God loves me just the way I am. He's working with me. And I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Lord. I love it. Lord, thank you. Thank you, Lord. You know, he'll use that brokenness. I heard this morning, Michael Clemens went down to the Greenfield Lake this morning to feed the homeless who came out of the woods. There's a compassion in your heart. There's a battleground area that you've walked through that maybe others haven't, but it'll cause you to be the answer to that broken person's need. And then we get blessed in the middle of it. So, Lord, we just want to say yes. Let this congregation be a people of yes. I've often said this before. I want to be a church where God says, go to Global River, they'll do it. Lord, we'll be bold enough to do it, even if it's a wild thing, Lord, I pray. So I thank you, Lord. Let us be the yes people of God, that the kingdom gets to advance. So, Lord, I ask now for divine appointments even this week. Divine appointments, Lord, everywhere you go. And we just give you thanks in Jesus' name. So let's lift up a shout of victory. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for today. Thank you for Pastor Lisa being transparent. We give you praise and glory and honor.
We hope you're blessed by this message. We encourage you to tune in wherever you get your podcasts, and we invite you to come as you are. Join our family at Global River Church, Sundays at 10 a.m. and Wednesdays at 6:30 p.m. Grace be with you in Jesus' name.